the big issue that we're going to be talking about today is this word called intimacy. Now, when I say the word intimacy, we're going to be talking about it in the context of marriage, but it's not necessary for you to be married to really get the bulk and the weight of this message today. And I do have a quick question for all of the men. We asked where the ladies were. Now I want to ask all the men one very easy, simple question. When you hear the word intimacy, what is the first word that you think of? Say it out loud. Okay. You say it like you hate it. Say it again. Okay, let's say it. One, two, three. There you go. Now, ladies, if you didn't know, now you know that when men think of this issue, that is what they think about most of the time. It's something about the way we're wired that we look at it a different way than maybe you do. And today we're going to take a look at the way men look at intimacy and the way that women look at intimacy and the way that it can be warped or altered from the way that it was meant to be intended. You can open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And we're going to take a look at a passage of Scripture. Now, I've got this little picture we're going to show in just a minute, but I wanted to read this first part of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I'm going to be using the Message Bible, which normally I don't use the Message Bible in a message. I usually use the New King James Version of the Bible, which is my favorite. But this particular version of the Bible in this particular passage, I think, is said in a way that I really want to convey, and it still holds the theological integrity of the meaning that I believe that it was meant to have. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to start off at verse 16 and take a break after the first few lines. It says, "There is more to sex than mere skin on skin. Sex is as much a spiritual mystery as physical fact. As written in the Scripture, the two became one." Now, there is this idea that men see intimacy in a certain way. And I'm going to break down, especially for the ladies, why men see it this way. Let's throw up the pyramid of intimacy for men. Now, this is the way most men view intimacy. And notice there is a hierarchy of the way we view it, and the closer you get to the top, that means you've achieved your goal in the eyes of most men. And I will also throw this out there. This is a generality. Not all men look at intimacy this way, just the vast majority. Now, at the bottom, you will see that there is talking and stuff. It's "and stuff" because we don't really care about that, whatever that might be. And then there's touching. Right? If you're touching, men think you're getting closer to the goal. And then the top of the pyramid is sex. Now, most men would say that if you don't reach the top of the pyramid, it's like climbing a mountain. It was just worthless. Most men would not climb to Mount Everest and get two-thirds of the way there and then turn around and go down. They would say that was a pointless adventure. This is the way most men view it. So if you've had problems in marriage, if you've had problems with intimacy, and you wonder why your man or your past man has always acted a certain way, this may help to bring some clarity. Now, when we talk about intimacy with women, we don't have a pyramid that we're going to study. Women are a little bit interesting and very complex, especially in the heart and the minds of men. All the men said amen. Amen. Now, with women, we couldn't use a pyramid, so we developed the trapezoid of intimacy. You're going to notice that the trapezoid has no hierarchy. There's no goal that you or steps, and there's really no way of knowing if you've achieved anything. But the women will know if you have. Let's look inside the trapezoid of intimacy. We see lots of things that are absent from the pyramid of intimacy. We see talking, and being vulnerable. And ladies, you can say amen as you see something in here. Closeness, holding hands, dreaming together, back rubs, washing dishes. Now, as the men are studying this with great detail, there's one thing to let you know. This may change tomorrow. See, the trapezoid of intimacy is kind of like a maze that leads nowhere. You don't really know where to start or where to end. And as you can see, between the trapezoid and the pyramid, it's easy to see how this will cause problems, especially in marriage. But as obvious as that is, there are some things that are not as obvious. Unfortunately, this is only one of the hurdles that we have towards achieving true intimacy in marriage. Now, all of us that are married or have been married, whether you went down the aisle at a church or you went to the courthouse, or if you were blessed enough to have a destination wedding somewhere, you brought some baggage with you to the altar or to the courthouse or to Hawaii. Now, my wife and I, what she did not know about me is that I had this invisible baggage that I was bringing to the altar. And in this baggage, there is a lot of things that I carried on to our marriage. This is my carry-on baggage when I go traveling. I brought my own issues, my own hurts, my own pains. Just to be extremely transparent with you, at the age of 8 or 9, I was molested by a kid down the street. Never told anybody until over the age of 25. I had all kinds of issues as being a young man. I was addicted to pornography for years and years and years, even after I gave my life to Christ. But thank God, several years ago, God gave me freedom in that area. Somebody give the Lord a big hand. And in this church, I have seen several men that have dealt with this issue for decades and decades come to freedom from issues like that. So all of us bring baggage. Your baggage may not look like my baggage. The contents of your bag may look a lot different, but all of us bring this to the table. But what we don't see is all of the baggage and how it affects us when we get married. I'm going to continue in our scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It says, since we want to become spiritually one with the Master, we must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy. If you've got a Bible or you're taking notes, I would underline that particular line. We must not pursue the kind of sex that avoids commitment and intimacy, leaving us more lonely than ever. You'll notice that certain things that people do, pornography and affairs and emotional affairs, they leave us more lonely at the end than they do at the beginning. The kind of sex that can never become one. There is a sense in which sexual sins are different from all others. It's interesting, we can talk about alcoholism and lying, and we can talk about pride, but there is something different about sexual sin. It says in sexual sin, we violate the sacredness. Everybody say sacredness. We violate the sacredness of our own bodies. These bodies that were made for God-given and God-modeled love, for becoming one with another. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place? This might be news to some of you. It is the place of the Holy Spirit. Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole works, meaning he owns all of you. God owns the whole works, so let people see God in you and through you. You know, a few months ago, we purchased a tiny house for my dad as an investment. And some of you may have seen these shows about tiny houses and tiny house hunters and this whole tiny craze that's going on where people live a simplified life. We did this to gain some revenue for my dad, and we've started the renovation process of this tiny house. Now, the original part of the house was built in 1923. It's almost 100 years old, so we didn't really know what we were going to get into until we started busting down walls and really start the renovation. And what we found out is that the original floor was actually 6 inches lower than the floor that was there when we got started. And so we started the process of busting up the floor that was there. And I got the phone call from my contractor, and it was very interesting. He said, "We've uncovered the original floor. You got to get over here to look at it." Now, this is the big moment in a lot of those renovation shows. When they show you the 100-year-old hardwood, and they spit on it, and it looks all good just like it was 100 years ago. This is the moment that everybody dreams of when they're renovating an old house. But when I got over there, I saw the original floor. The problem was, it was completely warped and useless. Over the last 80 years, it wasn't properly protected from the heat and the cold, the condensation, the humidity. It was wavy. And basically, it rendered the floor useless. This beautiful thing that somebody had thought of years and years ago was absolutely useless to us today. This is a lot like intimacy. There are some things that have happened in our past that were never supposed to be introduced into our lives. And because they've been introduced, a lot of times it causes us to have a warped sense of intimacy. Just to give you a few statistics, 1 in 4 girls before the age of 18 will experience sexual abuse. Think about this. 1 in 4. We have a church of about 800 people, about 450 adults. 1 in 4 girls. And almost like it, 1 in 6 boys before the age of 18 will experience sexual abuse. There was a recent article that I read about 15-year-old girls and how they have been subjected to a sex-crazed 15-year-old boy population. In this article, it says that 7th-grade girls are being asked questions about bondage, about S&M. Don't Google it if you don't know what it is. It says that many of them have seen the movie 50 Shades of Grey. Many women may have read the book or the books 50 Shades of Grey, and they wonder if a boy wants to hit them or tie them up or stalk them to prove that he loves them. Now you think about this just for a moment, how a sex-crazed generation that is now growing thanks to the internet and thanks to over 1 million pornography sites being on the internet has affected our young people. There's also stats about the use of pornography that are really quite shocking. 79% of men between the age of 18 and 30 view pornography monthly. 79%, 80% of men between that age. Between the ages of 31 and 49, 67% of men view pornography monthly. And men 50 and older, 49% view pornography monthly. And this is not just a male problem anymore. This used to be the problem of men that would go to the grocery store or to a convenience store and buy a magazine, stuff it in their back pocket and walk out. But now, with readily available Wi-Fi connected access anywhere, it's a problem for everyone. 31% of women watch porn every week. Somebody say, wow. 31%, virtually a third of all women that you work with, go to church with, go to the grocery store and see. This is a big problem. It is widely known that over 70% of men in church have a problem with pornography. And what happens is that we have too much exposure to the wrong thing can cause things to get severely warped. Imagine a young man with 10, 15, 20 plus years of watching pornography and how that skews what intimacy looks like. And to be perfectly honest, you have men that are married now that expect pornography sex from their wives and think that it's completely normal and natural, not realizing that their brains have been warped and not completely utilized to love and to give affection the way that God intended it. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, it says, the marriage is honorable among all, and the bed, or the marriage bed, undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers God will judge. Many people have heard this verse before, and some think that it gives them a license to do whatever they want to do in the bedroom. I've actually read articles this week where there are counselors, there are magazines that suggest that you should add things to the marriage bed like pornography to spice things up. And they give you these statistics that say that women and men that engage in watching pornography together is a good thing. The problem that these magazines and these counselors are not taking a toll of, that they're not really looking at, is how it warps our mind into thinking a perverted reality is normal. Somebody say amen. Amen. It doesn't give you a license to do whatever you want, but instead, it's meant that you should respect the marriage bed and to hold it in the highest honor, and not to do anything that would corrupt the purity or the perfection of what God has created for it. So let me ask you guys a question. How do you keep the marriage bed honorable? If you're not married, maybe you're here and you're not married, you're single, maybe you're divorced, or you're thinking about one day you'd like to get remarried, but you've got this baggage. And maybe there's been more hurts if you've been divorced that have been added into the baggage. And now you're bringing the baggage somewhere else. How are you going to get help in that area? What if you're not married and things have happened to you or things have been done to you and it's caused you to have this warped view of intimacy? And I just wanted to throw this in as I was preparing this message. I don't know who this is for, but there's this little phrase and it says that the comparison in marriage is the thief of joy. Comparison is the thief of joy. One of the things about looking at things and doing things that we ought not do in the realm of intimacy is that it causes us to compare things. It causes us to look at our spouse in a different way. And I believe what it does is it lowers the self-image of one to prop up the self-image of another. But God has help for us today. Somebody say amen to that. Some of us have some issues with all this stuff, and I don't want to leave you doom and gloom, but there is hope, and there is a way that God wants to make this thing a blessing. And he's given us certain tools to be able to help us out. The first thing is he's given us himself. Your personal relationship with Jesus Christ is step number one. We have to have the lordship of Jesus Christ as step one. By him being Lord means that whatever I think about an issue doesn't really matter. Whatever I think about sex and pornography or masturbation, whatever I think about these things, it doesn't matter. But I will compare this to what the Word of God says. And I will obey the Word of God, even if it goes against what the army tells me, even if it goes against what my parents have told me. And just to break this up for a second, I know that in the army, this is rampant. Somebody say amen. I've known men that have been deployed and said they are overseas with terabytes of pornography. I don't know if you know how big a terabyte is, but it is huge. And most men would just say, there's nothing wrong with looking at this or doing that. I've even read articles this week, and they say that 90% of women do not view men looking at pornography as adultery. But I just want to tell you today, the devil is a liar. That is contrary to the word of God. Now, I'll tell you what, ladies, if you don't think it's adultery, your men really don't think it's adultery. The Bible says in the words of Jesus that if any man looks at a woman with lust in his heart, he has already committed adultery. Let's be clear about what the Bible says. So God has given us a personal relationship with him, but then he's also given us his word so we can know the truth versus the lies of what society will tell us. And lastly, and this is one of the things that helped me out, I had a personal relationship with Jesus, but I found myself bound, not able to be set free. And it was only until this big word fell down in my life. I am firmly convinced, after the number of men that I have communicated with, the number one problem that keeps men in bondage is pride. There are men, there are women in here right now that are shackled under a chain of bondage. And the only thing that is keeping you from being set free, from having the marriage you've always wanted, having the intimacy that you've always wanted, is to allow pride to fall down and allow the Spirit of God to come into your marriage. The last thing that helps you with this issue is God's church, his people. It was not until I went to another man and said, I need help. I can't help myself. I'm out of control. And I began to walk in a relationship with other men to be accountable and to be open and to be transparent. And all of these words suck to men. All the men said amen. We hate that because it admits that we have a problem that we can't solve. It's kind of like the guy stopping to get directions at the convenience store. How many guys actually enjoy doing that? Same reason why we don't get free from things. But I really want to, and I believe this was God, I want to give you my email address. If I've spoken some things that have shaken up the beehive of your life or your home, I don't want you to feel so uncomfortable, so hopeless, and not know where to start or where to begin. But I've had some relative success in helping people walk through this and seeing freedom on the other side of this. And contrary to popular belief, you can be set free. I've seen it. It happened to me. And I know it is possible. All things are possible to him who believes. Somebody say amen. This is my email address. You can write it down. You can memorize it if you want to write it down. But you don't want to feel embarrassed by the person to your left or to your right. Just pretend like you're writing it for a friend. As I said, the church is a huge help in this issue. One of the things we're doing as a church, Aaron mentioned it, is we're having this thing called the Story of Marriage Weekend Experience. It's really an event that's hosted by, they're not going to be here, but they're hosting it, is John and Lisa Bevere. It's going to be here at the church this weekend, Friday night and Saturday morning. We want to invite you to it. There is a cost. It's $50 for a couple. But I tell you what, we just got paid, didn't we? Somebody got paid on the 15th, so that's a good day. And this is here's the awesome thing about it. Child care is provided. Now, you can't beat that with a stick. And I've got a little video I want to show you about this conference.
You could say you're a match made in heaven, but every marriage needs a little pick-me-up now and then. The Story of Marriage is designed to enhance the intimacy in your marriage. The Story of Marriage provides a balanced approach for both men and women in any stage of life, giving you more confidence about the future you're building together. Side effects may include discomfort in those exposed to high levels of PDA. This reaction may be stronger in children. Some individuals may find that their spouse becomes more involved in their favorite activity. Couples who use the story of marriage are encouraged to make frequent use of babysitters in case of dates lasting longer than 4 hours. It is not uncommon for children of couples using the story of marriage to experience earlier bedtimes. The story of marriage. Start the next chapter in your relationship. Try it today.
Oh, let's give a big hand for that video. Come on up, Miss Jen. Hey guys, take some time and sign up. There's going to be a table right outside in the lobby for you to sign up. You know, as we're about to close, the last thing and really the most important part of this entire message, I may have talked about some things that really spoke to some deep areas of your heart, and I hope it did. I hope we have done more than just stirred up the hornet's nest, so to speak, but actually giving you a plan for a next step. But the most important part of this entire message is that true intimacy begins with divine intimacy. All of us want intimacy in our relationships and in our marriage, but if we don't have divine intimacy, intimacy with God, we're just trying to grab the wind in our hand. It's useless. There's a quote from Tim Keller. He's a pastor, very respected theologian. He wrote a book called The Meaning of Marriage. He said that to be loved but not known is comforting but superficial. To be known and not loved is our greatest fear. But to be fully known and truly loved is, well, a lot like being loved by God. It is what we need more than anything. It liberates us from pretense, humbles us out of our self-righteousness, and fortifies us for any difficulty that life can throw at us. I want you to pay careful attention to that word, divine intimacy. The meaning of it is to be fully loved and at the same time, fully known. I just want to pray for you. If you could bow your heads just for a moment. Father, there's many in here who have been looking for love in all the wrong places, God. To be honest, God, even in marriage and outside of marriage, it's just like Aaron said, that we've been trying to fulfill a desire, and we've gone from parents to people to be able to fulfill the desire that no one on this planet can 100% satisfy. Father, I pray that as you have fully known us, I pray that we would understand that we are also fully loved. If you're here today and you've never known the true love of God, you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life, I would ask you in this moment with eyes closed and heads down, if you would like to know this Jesus, even with your baggage, even with all of the stuff that you brought into this room, if you've never given your life to Him today, and today you're saying, you know what? My life has been uncovered. There are things in my life I can't fix. I'm in bondage in some area. I need help. I need to begin with a relationship with God. I want you to raise your hands right now so I can pray for you. Thank you in the back. Thank you so much. There's several hands that are going up right now. Thank you so much. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for these hands that have gone up. It is simply a public declaration that they are needing you to come into their life, to come into their past, and to begin the process of healing. And God, today, as a result of making you the Lord of their life, they are saying you were in charge. You were in control. Today, they are beginning the process of an ongoing, growing relationship with an almighty God who will never leave you. He will never turn His back on you. He will never do you wrong because He is for you. So, Father, I pray even now, God, the Spirit of God would fill their heart, would fill their mind, and they would know the tangible love of God. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Let's give the Lord a big praise. Guys, if you could go ahead and stand, I want to ask our prayer team to come forward. If there is anything that, well, just to be honest, we said that we would kick the bees hive today. There may be some places in your life that feel a little stung and you might need some prayer. Please take every advantage of the email address that I gave you. Sometimes issues like this aren't easily solved in 50 minutes, not easily solved in an hour, but it takes an ongoing process. So I just want to pray as we leave today. Father, thank you so much for today. I pray that you would allow the message that came today to do what it was sent forward to do. And I pray for every individual, every marriage, and every family that you would bless them today. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen.